Greetings and welcome to Great American Golf. Ray Adams, your caddy for the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Masters Week, the Rite of Spring, the beautiful Augusta National Golf Course in full bloom and in perfect shape. And the first time in 25 years, we've heard now so much from the players and from the analyst that no rain. And the golf course is continuing to dry out. They're calling it crusty, and it's going to be an unbelievable test. In just a moment, Dr. Bob Denny, the PGA of America, Historian Emeritus, will join me. And a little bit later in the show, Elissa Gaudet, the founder and executive director of Women's Golf Day. And later in the show, Wally Armstrong, PGA tournament, our PGA Tour player for many, many years. And after that, he devoted his life to helping kids play golf and spreading the game, writing books and even screenplays that had Tom Lehman in it and Pat Boone, the famous actor and singer. I had them on my TV show. Folks, this show, like Monday Night Golf Show, you can find it on Golf News Net, the Golf News Net, golfnewsnet.com. All the radio podcast shows go there. They're there for a couple of days. Then they're sent over to all of the big audio platforms where you get all of your audio, video, podcast. Same thing with television. It goes to the Golf News Net, and more episodes are coming and coming very soon. Wonderful new episodes. And of course, they then go over after a few days there to the big video platforms. And you can find all of that by going to golfnewsnet.com. 1.5 million people go to that platform every month. And Ryan Ballingy, the owner, purveyor, and the guy that makes it all happen, I have to take my hat off to him and send him congratulations on such a success. And thank you from heartfelt thank you for everything you do for Great American Golf, the Monday Golf Lifestyles Show, and Match Play with Ray Adams TV. And if you want to go to Match Play with Ray Adams TV and find out more, you go to Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, especially YouTube, using Match Play TV, all one word. I've got to thank Ashworth Golf. I'm wearing, Bob, you will see that I'm wearing my Ashworth Golf outerwear today in very, very classic Masters green color. Love Ashworth Golf apparel. You want to go to ashworthgolf.com, folks. Not only is the golf man back, Ashworth Golf is back in a big way. And folks, if you're wearing Ashworth Golf apparel, you're wearing a part of golf history. ashworthgolf.com. And yeah, I've got to thank Squares Golf Shoes. You know, Squares has a player, and we'll mention his name in just a bit, where he's at the Masters wearing Squares golf shoes. And Squares says the first major is here. Golf season is on. If you want more out of your game this year, start with what's under you. The new 26 Squares lineup are the Speed 3s, the Speed 2 Mesh, the Pro S2, and the Speed 3 SL. Built for you golfers who want more stability, comfort, and more confidence from the ground up. Anti-slip footbeds, the wider patented Squares toe box. It's all there at squares.com. I've got to thank Squares. We've been together for so many years and continue right on into 2026. And Tour Edge Golf. Tour Edge Golf at touredge.com. Wow. Unbelievable technology. They're manufacturing. David Glaude, the master designer and founder, Tim Clark, the president, and John Claffey, the executive director of marketing. What a team, and so many more there that make Tour Edge one of the great golf club manufacturers and companies at every level of the game, from kids to ladies to beginners, and then all the way into the Hot Launch and the Exotics golf clubs played on tour by many, many players, and including the great Bernard Langer. and you want to go to touredge.com. Finally, I've got to mention the Tally Tumbler. They've got a special going right now to get an Augusta Green Tally Tumbler. Keeps your drinks ice cold or piping hot. Tally Tumbler has the rings at the top that keep stats and scores. Go to tallytumbler.com and enter in because they're going to be giving one of those away, tallytumbler.com. All right, Bob, we're back. I took a couple minutes there, needed to do that for the sponsors. Wanted to thank them so much for their, well, years of service and sponsorship. We want to do our very best for them. Okay, let's take a look at it. Bob, I want to start with the leaderboard. Lots of stories swirling everywhere we look. I think one of the big stories is the cut line and who missed the cut line. I think that's an important look very quickly, and then we'll get to the top. But if you look down to the cut line, it was at a plus four. Danny Willett missed it. JJ Spawn missed it. Bubba missed it. Zach Johnson missed it. Bryson DeChambeau was shocked. I was shocked that he missed it. But after three out of the bunker the other day on 18, you're never going to have. I mean, you just can't do that. Robert McIntyre, boy, did he have some international embarrassment. Missed the cut and was very, very angry about that. Flipping a middle finger. He was reprimanded by the Masters committee and went home with some apologies that I think are in order. Ethan Fang, the amateur, Daniel Berger. So, of course, Fred Couples, he had a great statement. Did you see what Fred Couples said? He said, anybody doesn't like Augusta National, you're stupid. That would be like Fred Couples. Yeah. Mike Weir, former winner. Carlos Ortiz. I mean, there's just a lot of names there. Angel Cabrera. Some Aldrich Pottgeter. I know we've talked about him a lot. So there's a number of players that didn't do what we expected that they would do. And then there's players that are, you know, at the top of the leaderboard that you might expect, but might not expect so much. But of course, with Rory, Sam Burns, Patrick Reed, Justin Rose, Shane Lowry, Tommy Fleetwood is there, Wyndham Clark, Tyrrell Hatton really scrambled to pull a four under and get to four under. Tyrrell Hatton, the same thing. Lots of talk about Tyrrell shooting a 66. Hao Tong Li played yesterday, a 69. Sick as a dog. And then I want to touch down on this Christopher Reitan. Tell us a little bit about him. And he is the player that is wearing Squares golf shoes at the Masters this week. Tell us a little bit about him. Not many people know who he is or what he's done, but he is a big up-and-coming player capable, I think, of winning lots of golf tournaments. He may be another Ober. Tell me about it.
28 years old, the pride and joy of Oslo, Norway, and he's very steady. I watched him. And he looks like he's comfortable out there. That's the biggest thing when you want to go around Augusta. You don't want to look like you're in awe of the place. And
right.
just looking at the world's largest nursery out there, you just want to obviously be calm and cool. And so far he hasn't made any big mistakes. So that's important to see out there.
You know, he reminds me of Ober. He goes about his business. He has a great attitude. And both of them great players. So we're going to be following Christopher along the way. And then I wanted to ask you a little bit about Patrick Reed. He said, I believe it was yesterday, he said, and there was talk from the analysts that if Patrick Reed would be in the final pairing today, it could be a very different day. But with the very easygoing Sam Burns with Rory, it could be much easier on Rory. And when you look at it, Patrick Reed said yesterday, there has to be a bad guy. he sees himself, I guess, as the bad guy. but he knows how to win. He knows how to win a lot. He knows how to win the Masters. And I think it would be fabulous if he could get up in there. And Rory's going to have to help the field out a bit, I think, given a 6-shot lead, the most in Masters history after the second round, and going for a back-to-back. And he would only be the fourth in history, if I got that right, to go back-to-back.
He would be the fourth, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So anyway, there has to be a bad guy. Do you think it would be a difference if Rory played with Patrick Reed as opposed to Sam Burns today, and that if Patrick could get in the final pairing tomorrow, Sunday with Rory, you think he would make a difference?
It's not a Ryder Cup. It's a medal play. I really don't believe there's any problem with Rory's preparation. I think he's much smarter now. He's comfortable. He made all those trips up there on his private jet to get some practice in by himself.
Yeah.
His short game is in tune. The one stat that really gets me, Ray, is there's 91 people that started the play on the 91st person on the leaderboard in driving accuracy didn't make the cut. The 90th person in driving accuracy is leading the tournament.
And see, I read that somewhere last night. And if you're the 90th person in driver accuracy out of 91, and yet you're leading the tournament, and you're not only leading it, you made history by leading it by 6 strokes after the second round was over. What does that tell you about Rory's play?
His short game is superb. His putting is on par, excuse me, on point. And he knows the golf course. He's been very comfortable with the golf course.
It means he's a great iron player. He made up for it. And he
Yeah.
talked about that yesterday in his exit interview. And I was surprised that he stayed with the media for so long answering questions. I mean, he was there for, seemed like forever. And they covered everything with Rory that you could cover. I mean, other than what are you having for dinner? And I might have missed that when I went to get my coffee. But anyway, they did ask him so many questions. And he talked about that he was hoping that he could get the driver back, working again, and he wouldn't have to depend so much on the iron and short game, the iron play and the short games. But when you're leading the tournament by 6 after 2 rounds and you're 90th in driving, it tells you everything that iron play and that short game is 100% superb and in tune. So we're going to see what he does today on Saturday. He doesn't tee off for a while. There are others afoot on the course already. We can take a quick look at that here in a couple minutes. But with that said, I also want to bring up one more question the media asked Rory. You may have seen this or heard it. They ask him, "Do you intimidate other players? Are you intimidating?" And his answer took a while to get out of him, where he kind of, well, and no, but it he kind of choked through getting going, and then he finally said, "No, I don't think so. I don't think I intimidate anybody." And he said, "I just go out and play my game, and everybody, it's your ball, your club, and the golf course, and we go out and play the game. And I don't feel like I don't want to intimidate anybody." And I was sitting there as he was answering, and I wanted him to say, "Hey, I'm just a regular guy from North Ireland, and I may happen to be an excellent golfer, but I don't want to intimidate anybody. I don't want it to come across that way." What do you make of that question and his answer?
Well, I can only compare it to the couple that I've watched in the past, and it'd be Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. And Jack was noticed by the field, not so much as an intimidator, but they knew his name was going to be on the leaderboard regardless. Tiger standing at the top of the hill with an approach, the bags to his side, and Steve Williams is to his right as a caddy, became almost like a signature look from the Wild West. It looked like the gunslingers coming over the hill.
Right.
He was intimidating. And
Tiger
he
Woods
is,
intimidated, and I think
yes.
he had that look, call it the eye of the tiger, a play on,
Right.
the song. But Tiger, I think, was trained by his father, Earl Woods, to be intimidating,
Right.
to be tough. I think that Tiger used that to his advantage over the years. I think he was intimidating to the press, the media,
And
and
I can interrupt you for a minute. I
go
can
ahead.
point to when that persona cracked, and it was Hazeltine 2009, Huai Yang. He
Yes.
completely snapped the 14-0 a record in the majors on the last day.
Yeah, that did, but I still think that any time after that, because that's still a very long time ago, that Tiger Woods, whenever he was in a golf tournament, no matter what it was, I think he intimidated the field. I think that the field said, "Oh boy, Tiger's here. We really better put it on." And he started for many years. He started with what, a stroke and a half, a stroke average, leading the field. So you look at it over 4 days, he started the tournament with a six-stroke lead. You can't give Tiger Woods a six-stroke lead and hope to win. You
That's right.
just can't. And they didn't.
Right.
So yes, once in a blue moon, I mean, yes, Hal Sutton, there's a few stories, but for the most part, I believe that he was a great intimidator. And I do believe that Jack Nicklaus intimidated the field as well. I don't know that he went out to try to do it, but because of his greatness and because of his seriosity, his course management, Lee Trevino said he's the greatest course manager in history. And Jack said that golf is a game of adjustments. He was a master of adjusting the game, not having to lean on his teacher. He did it on his no on his own during the play of a tournament. So just little sidebars there from the pressers last night. Did you hear anything else that would be relevant?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that this is Rory's golf tournament to lose. He doesn't make it if he doesn't if he avoids those big numbers, any big number, an opportune time, doesn't give anybody hope to stay in that, then he has a chance to really pull it off. Like when he did last year, if you remember, he had a good third round, a start, and that helped him. And that set the tone, but obviously he wasn't six strokes ahead. But I've seen this happen in a lot of tournaments in the past. I've seen Greg Norman get caught in the final day by Nick Faldo and those kind of things. But this is a little different animal this time. I think he's much more. He looks to me like he's at ease out there. He didn't look to me like he was unnerving when he missed a putt or something like that. But he was so darn consistent with his iron play.
Well, it was absolutely guts and blood for him to win the Masters last year because he had that massive bear on his back for years and years and years to win the Masters and ultimately the career Grand Slam. And he had to go all the way into a playoff. Justin Rose was right there, and Rory finally won his Masters. I think the world was lifted off, mountains were lifted off of his shoulders. I think he's had a much more calm. He doesn't have to prove anything anymore to anybody. And I think he's made his mind up that he's going to win this back-to-back Masters this year. And I have to go out way out on a limb, Ray, and say that I believe that he will too. Now,
Maybe today he'll hit a fairway on the par five.
well, maybe he will. Maybe he will. But if he doesn't and he continues this trend with the driver and he comes back, maybe a couple of strokes. If Sam Burns or Patrick Reed or even Justin Rose again, or even Shane Lowry again, if they can put together a fine round, I think we're going to have a serious race tomorrow. And it could be like most all the other Masters, especially with course conditions, it could be that everything happens on the back nine. What do you make of it?
Of course, that's where everything else happens on the back nine.
I
Yes.
wanted to talk about Amen Corner, and maybe we can do that a little bit after Alyssa is on with us because she will join us. Actually, we have A few minutes left. Isn't that great? Let's talk about Amen Corner. It has been the undoing of so many players, so many players who should have won and they didn't win over the years, and undoing of players this year. It's been difficult. So let's talk a little bit about Amen Corner. And you tell me how it started. You're our historian. And then I'll mention the three holes are 11, 12, and 13. They each have a name. We'll go over that. But you tell me, how did all that get started calling it Amen Corner?
Herbert Warren Wynne coined that phrase in a 1958 Sports Illustrated, and he was just as he I think he, those words were the area down in the Amen corner where Rays Creek intersects the 13th fairway near the tee and parallels the front edge of the green on the short 12th and finally swirls alongside the 11th green. He was
Yeah.
inspired by Shouting in the Amen Corner, a jazz song
Yes.
in the 1940s with the Dorsey Brothers.
Isn't that brilliant? What a great, great, great. Wait, thank you, Bob, so much for that. Amen Corner, it consists of 11, 12, and 13. 11 is white dogwood. It's a par four, 520 yard hole, often the toughest on the course, requiring a long approach to a green guarded left by water. Ben Crenshaw was on this morning, and I listened to that segment with Ben talking about not only his two Masters wins, his respect for the game, his love of Augusta, what he does on Saturdays when he's there. And that was an interesting conversation to listen to him. But he went hole by hole all the way through the golf course with today's pin positions and talked about how the players have to position the ball and at the greens, what will happen to them if they don't hit it in the correct places. And I'm telling you, some of those greens, and it's been said before, some of those greens look like, as he was talking about the pin positions and the danger everywhere else, that you have about the size of a VW bug. Maybe a 5 by 6 square area to land your ball. And if you don't get it there in that small little spot, you could be in a big trouble or certainly have a very long putt. Number 12 is Golden Bell. It's the par three. It's 155 iconic short par three over Rays Creek to a very shallow green width, of course. Fickle winds, and we've seen that over and over again. 13 is Azalea. It's a par five, dogleg left, and tempting players to go for the green, but lots of trouble if you do. That's Amen Corner. And
Ray?
yeah.
Yeah. The biggest of those three right now that's changed is number 13. And that was that they increased it by 35 yards. That's most players now don't easily have a chance to go in two. You have to hit a really good shot to have a chance to make it in two. So those extra 35 yards have added a lot to number 13, made it much more interesting. And number 15 being as rock hard as has been this first few days, that's even equally interesting. So the par fives, all of a sudden at Augusta, are more of the story than they have been in the past.
Absolutely true. All right, we are going to be going to a short break here, but we have two great guests coming up, everybody. So make sure you stay with me. I'm not quite ready to go to that break.
I have another nugget for you if you
We're
can.
ready for nuggets. We want nuggets.
Okay. We couldn't do it yesterday, but yesterday and one day add on, the PGA of America is now 110 years old. On August, excuse me, April 10, 1916, it was born in New York City at the Martinique Hotel. That's where they ratify the Constitution, approve the bylaws. 35 charter members were officially recognized, and 82 total members were approved at the Martinique Hotel in New York City, the PGA of America, the first ever National Professional Golf Association.
100 years ago yesterday.
110.
Oh, 110, sorry.
Yes.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? And they have survived all these 110 years and grown. They service over 30,000 PGA professionals. They initiated and are the sponsors of the big PGA merchandise show every year. And I'll be talking more about new sponsors coming on from the recent PGA show that I attended. Make sure you go to Match Play TV, use Match Play TV. Go to my YouTube site, and you're going to see I shot 31 videos there with all kinds of new products, innovations, imagination. I mean, unbelievable this year. Anyway, they also, of course, put on the PGA Championship. Another wonderful of our four majors. And I tell you, the PGA of America is something to behold. It is a great, great, great organization, and their initiatives, fantastic. And of course, they raise money from all the different things they do so that they can pay for all those great initiatives, helping the military and kids, and well, on and on it goes. So big plug for the PGA. Thanks for that, Bob. Are you surprised that DeChambeau not just misses the cut, but he wins a US Open by making a miraculous, and there's now a plaque there of a long bunker shot that I don't know that anybody could do it again, even him, to win the US Open out of a bunker. And yet he's three times in the bunker. How does that happen?
That's a good point when it comes to the bunker. I also believe that the man he beat in Rory McIlroy back at Pinehurst is a different Rory McIlroy. I think because of the challenges that they've been getting on the LIV Tour, I don't know if it's where they are. I don't know if the time is, whatever the competition they face, but are they being challenged as much? And certainly Bryson has the talent beyond it to get out of a bunker. We all know that. Is he being too cute? We don't know. We'd have to go back and look at it, see what he has to say. But that one was a shocker, not to be able to get out at least in a second shot. And it was embarrassing to do that, but that was his Waterloo.
Unbelievable. And his undoing. I know he's disappointed going home. And speaking of live players, Bob, I can only tell you that they did not fare well, did they?
No. It's Brandel Chamblee on the Golf Channel tried to hypothesize about it, saying that they're not challenged as much as from week to week, and the different courses are not the kind of courses we face here, and the setups, blah blah blah. That may be true, but also these are talented players. There's major champions in that list. There's Ryder Cup players. There's people that have done well over the past, like Bubba, for instance. Look at Bubba. How well he did it, two masters. So there's a lot of people that go through ups and downs and things. But in the grouping, I think Augusta will expose you, and I think that you'll find that in as you go through, play enough of that golf course, and if you are not playing sharp, if you're not smart navigating, use that word navigating. Then you're not hitting the ball those right spots. One quick little sidebar. Rory hit a beautiful drive on 14 yesterday, a gap wedge, and he didn't land it right where he thought it was. He knew that and went zipping down to the right. He ended up with a 45-foot putt. Well, he two-putted from there. Yes, wonderful. But you see how close it was and the fine line, Ray, that what Augusta demands of you.
All right, we have a very, very special guest that I want to introduce right now. I will have her on a few minutes. She is currently in transit, transportation, planes, trains, and automobiles, and all that jazz to get back to her wonderful Florida. By the way, folks, all three of my guests today live in Florida. I don't know. Maybe that's an omen that your humble correspondent over here needs to move down to that area, and then we can all hang out together. maybe even do the shows in person. But I'm talking about the founder of Women's Golf Day. I'm talking about a worldwide phenomena. I'm talking about a businesswoman, I'm talking about an author. I'm talking about my roving reporter from the Masters this year, and I'm talking about the wonderful Elissa Godet. Elissa, welcome. You look great.
Thank
And
you, Ray.
yes, and Dr. Bob Denny is with us. You know Dr. Bob.
Hi, Dr. Bob.
And
Hi.
we want to talk to Elissa because she is at the airport and so gracious to give us a few minutes to report
Yeah.
her master's experience. And let's get right to it, Elissa. I'm going to start with a question for you. The master's committee has certain very, very important rules of conduct. And one of those is no cell phones. And that it goes for everybody. They don't really care who you are or what you are. And we had a player, a major champion, escorted off the course the other day because he had none other than a cell phone. Talk about that and your experience. I read a post you did, and it was very elegantly worded about the quiet and the intimacy and the elegance of being on master's grounds and having all of that away from you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did put a post. I said we should all send Augusta National a thank you note for forcing us to put down our technology, to be present in the moment, and truly enjoy the golf, the beauty. You know, they put so much time and care. I always say it's like a Japanese botanical garden meets Disney with the
Yeah.
infrastructure and way they are so good about getting people in and around and having it be a joyful, non-frenetic experience. So yeah, I do. I think that like, I don't why people have such an issue with that. Like we should, you know, are you going to go pull out your cell phone and use it in church? So I think, you know, they're like, they created reverence because maybe some people didn't know. And I think this is the most prestigious, the most special golf tournament you will ever go to in your life. Bar none.
That is an amazing statement. And Bob, I'm sure you heard Alyssa say it, that you're not going to have your cell phone open in church. And if there ever was a cathedral in the world of golf, it would be Augusta National, wouldn't it, Alyssa?
It certainly would.
What an interesting
Like in the
analogy.
polo world, they call the Argentine, the polo field in Argentina, they call it the Cathedral of Polo. So I do think that the Masters is the cathedral of golf.
What a great thought. And see, this is why we have Elissa Godet on from time to time. She comes up with all of these gems. She's so smart, articulate, world traveler, and I'm bragging on you a lot, Elissa. I don't have to do it, but I've known you for so many years, and we've been friends for a long time. We were in Rome together at the Ryder Cup, and there's videos up on my YouTube channel with you and I from back then. Tell us a few more of your experiences there. What did you see from first time in 25 years, no rain, and we'll be that way all weekend. Was the golf course already drying out a bit? Talk about that.
I was only there on Wednesday, so I don't, you know, it looked, everything looked pretty good to me. I'm no agronomist, but you know, same like you said, 26 years in the golf industry, you do learn a few things. But no, it was, you know, that was still early week. Nobody was on it. I think, you know, once they start playing, we can all tell just by how the shots are being hit and what the players are saying as to what those true conditions are. You know, I think that it's just a really we're very lucky, like you said, with the weather, with the players. There's a buzz in the air, and I think it's more people than I've ever seen. I mean, I thought that there was a limitation, but it just was like there's a lot of people. So, but yeah, you know, listen, they're all enjoying themselves, and once you get in there, it is this like of we just keep saying sanctuary. That you can, you kind of like, for
a bunch of hours, just really focus on why you're there. And I think we've lost the plot on that in life, many of us, with a lot of things. We're going to doing things and doing other things while we're doing the things that and I can't imagine, if you think about it, if you would have spent all that money and time and get there and you spent your time on your cell phone, like, oh my God, how depressing would that be?
Well, a lot of other rules I read about, and over the years, we've heard them and seen them, and I mention them from time to time. No strollers, no running, appropriate attire. There's numerous others. None of these periscopes to look over the crowd. Certain chairs only allowed. And did you see anybody wearing the Apple watches or any other sort of a watch? Because I read somewhere
I did. I
where
was,
people were
yeah.
talking on their phone, and taking pictures from the watches, and that the committee has not addressed that just yet.
I saw someone checking, and that's when it tipped me off. I saw them, a woman look down at her watch, and then, it was like looking at a text, or I didn't see any. I don't know if you can take pictures from the watch, but I
Well,
don't have
I don't know
one.
if you can either, but if you have your earbud in, you can certainly answer and make a phone call.
I have no idea. I don't know. I have an Apple phone, but
I don't
I
have a
don't
wear
have an Apple Watch.
I don't have any wearable technology
Yeah,
or
I didn't
anything like
really
that.
see anybody really abusing anything, to be quite honest. So I couldn't speak authoritatively on that. But I can, you know what, an interesting thing is, they have, I forget now how many years, this new press. And I think it was very interesting to see, you being press, is that the reverence and the importance, and it is, yes, it's very much for full-time credentialed, but the facility they have created for the press, and they all brag about it, like how amazing it is. And from the very beginning, how Bobby Jones, and Augusta National, how they knew the importance. Like, you can hit all the great shots you want. It's like a bear in the woods or something. You don't even have a tree falls in the woods,
Did
type
you
of thing.
have
If there
a
was nobody to tell the story, then you wouldn't even know about it. So,
did you have a pimento sandwich for $2 or something? The
I
food there is
did.
ridiculously inexpensive compared to any other event.
Correct.
It's they've kept the food. I'm still shocked at the prices. Did you get a pimento sandwich?
I did not get it this time. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a fan of the pimento sandwich.
Okay.
But I've gotten it in the past. I've tried everything, but no, this time I did not. I
And
kept it simple.
they have a big menu. Bob, question for Alyssa Godet.
Well, Alyssa, obviously the people who have never attended the Masters know that they have to deposit those cell phones at the gate, right? And then if you're lucky and they take care of them and you come back and you find them. That type of thing. But I was also going to ask you what you thought about the chairs that you saw out there when they're not occupied. That's one of the most things I think was one of the most unique little signatures about bringing your chair in before 8 o'clock if sometime they're rushing to put those chairs down.
Right. Yeah. And I wrote a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, who was taking his father for the first time. So it caused me to write down, because it goes by so quick. Yeah, it really does. Write down, what I thought he should do and how he should do it. Go to the merch shop, ship your stuff back, get the chairs, and bring a Sharpie or whatever, put your initials on it. And for him and his dad, I go, this is like a core memory. You will never, like, I took my father to the PGA Championship and did exactly what I just said. Got the chairs, put it down. My dad was an executive for GE, what have you, but never went to this, wasn't golf thing. And he still talks about it to this day. He thought that was the neatest thing, that we would just go take the chair with put our little initials on it, put it down by the 18th, and that we could come back there later on. And just sit there and enjoy the groups coming through, for and then walk the course, see what you want to see, and then you're tired. It's like everybody, the number one thing that everybody says is, oh, I can't believe how hilly it is and how much walking when they go to Augusta. And that's true. But I think those things
Back to
are
those
important,
chairs.
and I love that tradition. And they sit there, and apparently you can sit in somebody's, and just as long as when they come, you have to get up. But there's a lot of respect in like Southern hospitality. Augusta definitely goes out of their way to have greeters all over the place. That's their sole job, just to greet you walking in, leaving, when you're waiting in line for the merch. merch building and all of that. So yeah.
Well,
Those chairs are like the pews in the cathedral, right?
Exactly.
and people are very protective of those chairs. And I saw on TV they put their names on the back of them and all that sort of stuff.
Oh,
Okay,
yeah.
Bob, one more question for
Yeah.
Alyssa. She's got to get to her plane here in a minute. Another question for her.
45 days away from Women's Golf Day, Ray.
Well,
What's right around the
let's
corner?
get to Women's Golf
That's
Day, Bob. Go ahead.
that's what I was going to ask her
45
about.
days away.
I know, we're
Alyssa,
coming in.
where will you camp out for that particular week? I was going to
Oh,
ask
I'll
her.
probably bop around. I don't have my schedule completely locked down yet, but I'm really most concerned with everybody else being where they're supposed to be.
Okay.
It's the lead up and trying to get is still a lot of golf courses are coming on. I know these guys, I don't know why, in the golf industry, they love to do stuff last minute. Maybe just the weather's getting nice, everybody gets pumped up because of Augusta, but yeah,
Right.
courses are still coming on registering to host the event. And then May 28th to June 2nd, that week, all over. There's Women's Golf Day events happening.
Alyssa,
So we'd love to
one more
see
time for
courses,
people.
more courses come on and more women participate.
One more time. Let's go back to the founding days and to today. Let's connect those two over the years. And for those that don't know about Women's Golf Day that may be listening, what is Women's Golf Day and what does it seek to accomplish?
Yes, Women's Golf Day is a player development program for women and girls, and we put the power in the hands of the golf facilities and the teaching professionals. So it's a 1 day, 4 hour experience. The first 2 hours, women who play golf play nine holes. Women who are new take lessons. And then there's 2 hours of socializing. This is based off of data and research, and we beta tested it, and then we launched it in 2016. This is a great way for any club to bring in more female golfers to fire up their base. It's celebratory. So normally if a bunch of people are doing something new, you're only with people that are new to tennis or golf. So mixing the new and existing golfers is a, really helps women get involved, stay involved. And then from there, like I said, the golf course is registered with us. You go to womensgolfday.com and it says register your location. We give them a very complete marketing toolkit, press release, everything pre-done. They just have to drop the name of their club in and whatever else they want to make this so turnkey and easy because really we're bringing the horse to water, but it's up to the clubs to make it drink. And the core of this was that they do have to be, it's not a princess treatment, but there has to be a little different approach to women than there is to men. And so what we've done is we've done all the research, we created the platform, we made it super easy, and now the golf club just has to implement it. And from there, they should take it and hopefully start a league at their club or understand that this is a great way to engage women and do some type of ongoing programming and obviously stand up and say, by the way, you can have your daughter's wedding at our club, or you can take lessons or junior programs or nine and wine.
Yeah,
And
it's a revenuer
as
for the
opposed
golf.
to bopping around.
No, go ahead.
Yes.
It's a revenuer for the
No,
golf
you were going to
courses.
say revenue.
Well, it's a revenuer for the golf courses, but it's for the ladies and the young girls. It's a wonderful, safe, non-intimidating, fun environment. And I've been to a Women's Golf Day out here, and I can tell you that, folks, Women's Golf Day is, as I said, it's one of the great movements in golf that Alyssa has created and her team has sustained through a lot of hard and difficult times. I know that. But it is a success, and it's because of her commitment and the golf course's commitments and the movement, the great movement of women in the game of golf over the last few years. So please get involved in Women's Golf Day, and it's at womensgolfday.com. One more time, Alyssa, what are the dates coming up in 45 days?
May 26th to June 2nd.
There you go. It started as a day and it started on the other end of the world and then it went all the way around the world. How do you do that now with what over 1,000 courses and you're doing it for a week? How does that work?
So each golf course is doing their own. So it's their own individual Women's Golf Day wherever they're hosting it around
Wherever
the
they
world.
are, okay.
And exactly, so it's like they're independent, but it's that one day. So it's Women's Golf Day, and the best place, quite honestly, too, is take a look at social media because it goes nutty. We had 406 million impressions last year, and it's just a really
My goodness.
fun to see people all over the world from Japan. You see the women, everybody wears red and white, and it's very celebratory, and it's very, I think we all need some feel good stuff, and this is definitely a feel good thing.
Absolutely. Alyssa, thank you so very much for being on with us. We're going to go to a break. I didn't want to cut to a break in the middle of your segment. We appreciate you so much. Best wishes on your travel journeys. And we're going to be back with you very, very soon. Bob, do you have a final word?
No, I'm just waving goodbye.
Yeah, okay. He
Thank
does.
you. Thank you, guys. It's always great to see you.
Bob does this stuff to me, Alyssa, with his two fingers going back and forth in the air like this. And I don't know what it means. I thought bye-bye was with
No,
the hand.
Alyssa can see me going like this sometimes,
Okay, all right, okay.
Yeah, I can.
I'm just
Well,
trying to do a little lightness to the day. That's all.
you two live down there by each other. You should get together for lunch. And Craig Renshaw also. And we have to put our heart and prayers out for Craig. He lost his mom last week, and he was unable, of course, to join us. He's in St. Louis with his family. He will return, and hopefully we'll have Craig back on this next week. Big wrap-up show this coming Monday for the Masters wrap on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, and we'll give you some more information about that later. Alyssa, thanks so much. Let's get you back to your airplane, and we'll talk
Thank
to you
you.
very soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There she is. Always fun to have Alyssa on. We got a big one out of her today. You don't play your cell phones in church, and the Masters is probably the cathedral of golf. I'd love that.
I
All
have one
right.
other cathedral, Ray.
Okay, go ahead.
St. Andrews.
Well, yeah.
That's my cathedral.
Well, and I've been there and played there more than once, and my heritage is from the Kingdom of Fife. My great great grandparents were born right near St. Andrews there, and that's where the other half of my family comes from. And then the other half is from County Down in Ireland. So I'm through and through a Scotch Irishman by bloodlines, and legacy. All right. We're looking for our next guest, and I'm going to go out to a quick break right now for just a moment, folks. We've got some wonderful sponsors. Please listen to them, and we're going to come back. This is a longer show than normal today. It won't be just 1 hour. We're going to extend it out just a little bit, we hope, to be able to do that for you. So have a listen to these wonderful sponsors that have not just made sure that these shows, both radio, podcast, and TV keep going, but provide you with some wonderful products and services and ideas for your game and your life. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
Greetings and welcome back, folks, to Great American Golf. Ray Adams here with you, including Dr. Bob from the PGA Emeritus Historian. And of course, we want to thank Alyssa Godet for being on and all the great talk. Thanks some of you for writing to me today with some questions, some extra things. You write to me at golfadams@msn.com. And of course, if you want Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, you go to Match Play TV, all one word. And Bob, it is my pleasure to introduce one of my favorite people, not just because he was a wonderful PGA Tour player during his time on tour. He nearly won the Masters. He can tell us that story. And he knows all about Augusta and playing in the Masters. But also because Wally went on to have a career that was, I think, unparalleled, and it's been going on for decades, that Wally, they used to say Wally made golf, the kids would say that, because he dedicated his life to growing the game, creating kids clubs and games that would allow them to learn the game. He was part of Snag Golf, started all of that, and for many years, and has brought games to every place you can imagine. He has worked with the Payne Stewart Foundation. He is also an author, and he wrote the Mulligan book. You want to go get the Mulligan book, that's for sure, and see the Mulligan movie. Wally was part of all of that. And I can't thank him enough for joining us today. It's always a pleasure, Wally, to have you on Welcome to Great American Golf. And you're joined by Dr. Bob Denny from the PGA of America. He's
great,
their historian.
Great to be with y'all.
All right. Well, what do you make of the Masters so far, Thursday and Friday?
That's pretty crazy. Looks like Rory's just running away from everybody, is a lap ahead, you know.
And we talked about it earlier. I want your comment on this. Out of the 91 golfers, he was 90th in driving accuracy for 2 days. And yet he sets history, the record of being the largest leader after two rounds in Masters history, and a 6-shot lead going into today's third round. I mean, my goodness, how do you do that, Wally, when you're not driving the ball at all well?
It's pretty amazing. The first British Open I played in was a Royal Lytham, and that was the year that Seve won. And I think they called him the parking lot victor. He hit it so far out of play that he was out in the parking lots where the grass was all knocked down and trampled so he could play spinning them into the greens. And Rory was scrambling like crazy. I don't know how many fairways he hit, but I think it was like maybe two or three the whole day.
It tells me that he has an amazing short game.
He has always had that amazing short game. If he keeps driving it the way he is now, it could become a very interesting tournament.
Well, and we mentioned that earlier. If he keeps driving the ball, if his tee balls are not very accurate again, and he'll come back a couple of two or three strokes. We hope he doesn't, but he might. And if he does, it's going to be game on.
Yeah, you need one of those guys that's about two or three back to shoot 66, 67 or better. And then, but I don't know. I don't know if anybody can catch him really. He's just so dominating. And especially with the short game and the putting,
tell the folks in a couple, 3 or 4 minutes, maybe, you nearly won the Masters Golf Tournament, and you can tell us the year and what happened there at the end, and who won finally. We can always look it up in history. I know the answers, and so does Dr. Bob. He's a historian. But we want to hear you tell us about playing in the Masters and what happened there, because you were so close.
The first day, just going there, I was nervous, but I was teeing off I was warming up between Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, and I walked
Were you
by
intimidated?
Jack.
Were you intimidated?
Well, yes, and I walked by Jack and I said, "Jack, do you have any advice for a first-time player?" And he stopped and came over and he said, "You mean this is the first time you've played here?" And it's like he didn't have to say anything else. That made my life that he had felt like I'd been there before. But
What year was this?
78,
Oh,
and I got to the
heyday.
tee. It was really funny. I was playing with this Bob Wynn, who I know, Doc, you're probably familiar. He's a real character on the tour. And he said, "Wally, you're going to be so nervous when you get up there. You're not going to be able to breathe." And I'm going, "Oh, yeah, thanks." And he said he played with Gary Groh the year before, and Gary was so nervous he couldn't talk. And he got off the green after the first hole, and he said, "Now I can talk." So I get up there, and the one place you don't want to go, Ray, is in the bunker at the right, because it's got an 8-foot-high lip. Probably can't get it on the green. And of course, if I had done some of my instructional videos before that, I would have known that you don't tell yourself, "Don't go somewhere," because you'll normally go there. And I went right in the middle of the bunker, and I had to line up with the tree behind the green. I had to come out of it and took a 6 iron, thinking I could get maybe to the front of the green. And I hit it right on line, and I figured I can chip up. And as I was walking up to the green, there was a ball up by the pin, but there was one short, and I assumed that was mine. And I looked down, it was Bob's. And I walked up on the green, and my ball was about 9 inches from the hole.
Oh my goodness. So you start one of the most difficult holes
And I almost blew the putt. I was so nervous,
you blew the putt.
but I birdied the first hole. My name went up at the top of the leaderboard,
Yeah.
and so I had the lead for maybe a minute or so. And but during the tournament, I was all I. There were a number of times I was within 1 or 2 strokes coming into the last day.
Where were you Sunday morning on the last day? What was your score?
I was 4 under starting, and I hung in there pretty good. And then I came around and I thought if I could just get through 13, I could score some birdies. That's why they call it Amen Corner, because if you get
Yeah.
through that corner without making a big number, you get on the 14th tee and you go Amen. So
Well, what ended up happening near the end of the
yeah.
tournament? Well,
So I got on
how?
14. I made about a 10-foot downhill putt for birdie. I ended up birdieing 14, 15, 16, and 17, which I don't think I've checked the records. I don't think anybody the last day's birdied those 4 holes, but they have birdied the last 4 holes. But nobody's birdied 14, 15, 16, and 17. And I ended up finishing fifth, 3 strokes out.
And the winner was
Gary Player.
Dr. Bob. Question for Wally Armstrong.
When you saw that golf course at that time, Wally, have you seen it in recent years? First of all, I have a two-part question.
You mean the first time I played?
I'm just asking the time you were in the Masters, as
Right.
in, and then later returning back to the grounds. What have you noticed the differences other than just loss of trees and things like that?
Well, they've had to knock the holes back 40 yards if they could. They tore a house down on number two to get the tee back far enough. They had to buy a hole from the Augusta Country Club on 13 so they could move the tee back 50 yards. The tee right now is in the middle of the fairway on one of the holes at Augusta Country Club, which backs up to Augusta. But it's
Okay.
interesting, 12 hasn't changed. Now 11 used to be about probably 420. Now I think it's 460 or almost 500 yards.
Yep.
So, but it doesn't seem to make any difference, does it? I mean, they're
No.
still
Yeah.
knocking it on all the par fives, and
And you still have to hit to the certain spots on greens to have a chance, right?
absolutely. I mean, that's what really makes that course. There's no rough, which is interesting. And it's a pretty wide open course generally. A lot of them play 3 woods on holes that we were killing drivers on now today.
Wally, if you missed the fairway, and so many did, And we saw Rory go through trees. What's it like? Because it looks to me like it would be a much harder shot, and yet the players seem to manage it pretty
They've got
well.
all the shots. It doesn't seem to faze them anymore. You know,
That the
they're
pine, the pine, you know, the mulch, the pine
the pine
mulch.
needles, the mulch.
What's it like to hit out of that?
It's you've got to be very exact, and like I think, you know, Doc, you would say, you know, you got to keep your stance just really steady, because if you slip at all and you miss it, and you hit some of the pine needles or the mulch, you're just not going to go anywhere. So you got to be really steady and exact, striking that ball off the top of those that mulch or the pine needles.
Wally, thanks so much for joining us today, but I want to go a little bit further. Am I to take it that you're going with Rory to win this?
I didn't go to college and get a graduate degree to figure that he's gonna. I doubt if anybody can catch him, but listen, anything can happen out there,
Well, we've seen
and
it
I hope
before
it
many
does get a
times.
little tight. It would be kind of fun though if somebody could make a run at him, but
We've seen it
I don't know.
before. We've seen it before.
There's 36 more holes.
Wally, what are you up to these days? Give us kind of a quick update, and let's send folks to a website, because I know you have a big seminar coming up next week online.
Well, I'm going to be on a Zoom call tomorrow with about 1,000 people. It's with the ministry I work closely with called the New Canaan Society.
This is tomorrow.
It's next Wednesday,
Okay, so next Wednesday, and
and
how
I'm
do they how do the
rerun.
folks get in?
I think they can probably just go to the New Canaan Society website.
New
New Canaan
Canaan
Society.
Society. Go to their website and you can sign up and get into the seminar. And what are you going to be talking about?
My master's experience, my life experience will be about an hour long talk. And we're building a new website, Ray. It's probably going to be open next week, called it's going to be called wallysgolf.com,
Oh my
wallysgolf.com.
goodness, isn't that great news? So wallysgolf.com. I can't
And it will
wait.
have the videos, the books. It'll have 300 YouTube golf tips on it. I've been on Instagram the last 5 days. I've been giving little stories of Augusta on my Instagram, so I'm gonna. I just posted a couple more this afternoon,
Isn't
so
that fantastic?
people can check me out
Unbelievable. Wally,
there.
thank you so much for telling us everything, and
Thank
Bob,
you,
I'm
Ray,
gonna
for thinking about me. You know,
I
it's nice
always think about you,
that you think
Wally.
about old guys like me that are over the hill.
Dr. Bob, final word with Wally Armstrong from you.
Wally, yesterday the PGA of America celebrated its 110th anniversary, 110 years in the business. And I know
Wow.
you've got so many good friends and among that family. I just wanted to what you reflect upon that extended family of golf.
It's been a great thing. This is my 52nd year of being a member of the PGA of America, and I've enjoyed all of the great relationships. There's so many of the great guys that there's just tons of them. Walker Inman and Roger Van Dyke. I mean, so many of these guys that I love. Don Essick, Tony Pancake was just down here at the Crooked Stick, PGA Pro of the Year. And so I'm just glad to be a part of that great organization.
All right, great question.
Thank
Thank
you,
you,
Doc.
Wally, so much for being
Thank you,
with us
Ray.
today. Have a wonderful day watching the Masters, and
Down
we'll
and
be.
play with me. Come on, Ray.
I know I got to get down there. I mean, you're in Florida, Bob's in Florida, Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional that comes on with us, he's now living in Jupiter. Bob's down there in West Palm Beach. What's your hometown?
I'm in Winter Park. You got to come down and play Winter Park 9. It's a top 10 walking course, and I play with, of course, my hickory clubs, and I have a one club, an adjustable, I
Unbelievable.
play with.
Isn't that fun? How far is that from Orlando?
It's right next to it. You know, they're combined. It's the next one.
Unbelievable.
There's Orlando and Winter Park. That's right, the next one there.
Well, you know what? You and I are going to have a little talk about that.
All right.
We might even do a little camera action and do a little episode with you for my Match
Yeah, you
Play
can give me
TV.
some pointers, some golf tips.
Well, we'll be happy. Anything I can do for you, of course, anything. All right, very good. There he is,
Take
Wally
care. Have a
Armstrong.
great one.
Appreciate you.
Thank
All
you.
right, Bob, you and I are going to finish up the show here in just a moment. And thank you so much for all that you're doing right now during the show, Bob. And a final word from you. Great guest today, great conversation today. But let me give you the final word.
Well, I think about the tagline that this is the rite of spring to bring in the Masters. Well, it sort of sets the tone for the golf industry's those that haven't been following it as closely. But it also is a wonderful break for us, I think, as Alyssa Gaudet said earlier, is it gets us into maybe feeling a little bit better about ourselves. We just watched yesterday the splashdown of four astronauts coming back from the longest trip ever for man out in
Oh,
space.
yeah.
And that tells us about the greatness of who we are. And I also think that's just to pause, take a little bit of time, and just relax and just say, look, cherish each day.
Absolutely. What a great comment. And as the rite of spring, or one of the rites of spring, I always looked at it that it came in early to mid-April, and that's when golf for the millions and millions of recreational players around the country is really opening, because there's so much cold weather in all of the various cold weather states, of course. Now, of course, Florida and the Southwest and parts of California, the Vegas area, we have year-round golf. Of course, it's very hot in the summers for us, but that terribly, terribly cold weather and no golf for months and months opens up right around, call it the end of March, 1st of April. And when you get to the Masters, the golf courses are really getting opened or opened already. And that's why I call it the rite of spring. And that's why I have a wonderful a spring newsletter to my email audience, 250,000. And if you want to be a part of that, you want to be in on that and be on my email list, you write to me at golfadams@msn.com. We'll make sure you get all of my gift guides throughout the year and my other email sends that will entertain you and help you, and you'll be part of all of that I do. All right, Bob, thanks a whole lot for a moment. I want to talk a little bit about a couple more of our great, great sponsors. And one of our new ones is in Carefree, Arizona. And it's a company called Sear Living. It is a culinary shop. It's a gourmet marketplace. And it offers only the best ingredients and products to elevate your home culinary experience. If you're frustrated by chain stores, at Seared Living, we believe home entertaining and cooking should be easy and delicious. You go to Seared, SEARED, like you would sear meat, searedliving.com. When I walked in this store for the first time, I was amazed, and it's right there on Easy Street, located in the big post office in Carefree, Arizona, one of the great, great places you want to go whenever you come to Phoenix, up in the Cave Creek, Carefree area. But I was amazed at all of the wonderful gourmet items and the food, the olive oils. There's tastings there. There's going to be cooking classes there, and they've expanded. So you want to make sure you get to searedliving.com, one of our new sponsors, and I'm so excited to bring them on board. And then one of my Anthem-only businesses, and I've talked about them so much, is Legends Bar and Grill. Legends is in the Safeway parking lot right there on Anthem Way. They've been there for so many years. They are a go-to wonderful restaurant and bar. It is a gathering place for the community. People love Legends Bar and Grill, owned and operated by a wonderful family, my neighbors who live around the corner from me. And I just can't tell you enough about great food, great service. I was standing there the other day, and I asked one of the patrons who had just ordered. I walked in myself, but I stopped and I said, "I saw you just ordered. What did you get?" And they said, "We got this or that." I think one of them got the beautiful hamburger. They have just great food. on such a variety on the menu. And I said, well, why do you come to Legends? And they said, it's the people, the service and the people. We just love it here. We feel at home here. And I know that we do too. So it's one of our great Anthem only businesses, restaurants that are part of this. And I want to thank them so much for being a part of it. And there are others that I'll be mentioning on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. You will want to tune in right here on the Golf News Net, and we'll be on Monday for a big, huge Masters wrap-up show. Have a wonderful weekend watching the Masters. Do some chipping and putting if you have some time, and relax. Copy those pros as you watch them. I think you're going to see an awful lot this weekend.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.